From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today, a passionate discussion about urban living and racism, and reading of original poetry. The word urban means different things to different people. We start with a roundtable discussion on the word urban and its connotations.
I'm a 23-year-old young male and I live in the city of Pittsburgh.
I am a 21-year-old female and I live in the city of Pittsburgh.
I'm a 17-year-old male and I live in Pittsburgh.
What does it mean to live in an urban community?
We had a discussion about what it means to live in an urban community. Like, what does urban mean? Now, the definition of urban is relating to or a characteristic of a city or a town. Also, denoting or relating to popular dance music of Black origin. So, when we use the term urban, it kind of feels like we're just talking about Black people. And a lot of us decided that urban means
we broke, low income, poor, government assisted. That's what I think about when I think about urban communities, low income families.
Those are the types of things that are the negative stereotypes that are attached to urban. And that's why we're having these discussions.
I mean, where I live at, it's kind of hard because I live in a low income part of Pittsburgh. It's considered an urban community. It's got a real bad rep.
Opportunities that exist are food stamps, government assistance, SNAP, stuff like that. I mean, that's what I was raised on, was food stamps. One of the struggles is knowing how to fill an application out to go get that money. And if you don't know how to do it, you're just going to be struggling.
I want to say that when we think about, like, poverty encompasses a wide spectrum. So just because you have the cars and the homes does not mean that you are not in poverty. There are a lot of people who portray the middle class lifestyle, but in reality, they don't own their cars. They don't own their homes. They have student loan debt. We're all pretty much in the same boat, but you just have nicer things and that's it.
Like, they act like they got it all together and not knowing where they still got to pay back student loans and that car note's due and the mortgage is due and they don't know how to get it, but they want to still portray the middle class lifestyle.
Now, do you guys think that people stay broke or are there other influences that create those situations?
I mean, like, they could have came from a bad background of the families.
So rather they're doing other things to try to make money, they just going to sit there and let money fly by.
So you think it's a matter of personal motivation as opposed to anything else?
No, you can go and get the money. You just gotta do it the right way. Like, you gotta go and, like, fill out an app or something, like, you know, for a job to try to make money instead of wasting time and things.
Okay, so I get a job. Job pays me $10 an hour. I have bills. I can't pay those bills. What happens now?
One, get another job.
A lot of the times the solution is just get another job or just go back to school. But people don't necessarily have time for those things because you may have kids, you may have outside factors, like you might have to take care of a parent.
You know, if you have kids, put them in a daycare.
People are paying like $300 a week for daycare. So for some people, that's not realistic. So I'm working, but all I'm doing is maintaining. And that's it. I'm not reaching any higher level. There's no opportunity for me to climb that ladder because I'm still stuck in the cycle of maintaining what I have. Yeah, people don't have support for those most important things like childcare. And that's a really big barrier for people, especially when you're trying to go back to school. That's honestly the only way that you're going to make money is if you have some type of skill or some type of degree, because other than that, it's entry wage.
there's not too many opportunities for urban communities that actually people can help us help ourselves. Entrepreneur programs, just simple community jobs, just make to create little jobs inside the community just to help us do what we have to do to support our families.
So our discussion is going to go into racism, specifically within the Pittsburgh area.
I was in Target. I was walking around the store. I had a shopping cart, everything, walking around the store. Next thing you know, I see the same guy in every aisle I'm in. Exactly same guy. So what I did was I walked from one side to the other. Same aisle. I walked through the whole store. Every aisle I was in, this guy apparently was buying the same stuff I was buying. I guess I'm just saying. And then I walked towards the front, and he's right there behind me in the same line as I was. Are you following me or whatnot? He said, I'm store security. I was just making sure you wasn't stealing. Obviously, I put some stuff in the car, and I'm in line in front of the store. Why the heck would I be stealing? Why would I be stealing? You see me walk through the store. I'm standing in front. I wasn't picking stuff up, putting stuff down. I wasn't acting like I was going to steal anything. I didn't even come in there hood up. As soon as I walked in the store, I threw my hood down. Because that's the first thing they look at to see if you're stealing.
Everyone knows that Hollister is a super white store.
Yes.
Now, I liked Hollister. I really didn't care. Their clothes have, like, they're just soft. But anyway, so I went in and I had my headphones in. So I'm not paying attention. I'm walking through the store and I see this white woman just constantly pop up in every room that I'm in. They have like three rooms on each side and then they have a middle room that connects it. So I'm like, all right, I feel like she's following me. Let me play a game. I'm gonna walk around and I'm gonna see if she's still behind me. So I walked all the way around the store and of course she's still behind me. So I'm asking her like, are you following me? And she's like, no, I tried to greet you and you didn't speak to me and you were very rude. And I'm like, I have my headphones in. What are you talking about? And she's like, oh, you're belligerent. And I'm standing at the counter like, what the heck is this woman talking about? Like, I was literally losing my mind. Like, and I'm looking, nobody's catching my eye. Nobody is like looking at me and realizing that this situation is completely uncalled for. And of course, I didn't expect anything. She actually tries to put her hands on me. And I told her, you better not put your hands on me. I will leave on my own time. And she said, all right, well, I'm going to call security and da 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 da. All right, call security. Do what you got to do. The situation escalated to that point because I asked this woman, was she following me? I waited until the security guards got there because I didn't know what the heck was going to happen. I'm not trying to be pulled out of no store while I'm shopping. So I waited for them to get there. They pull me aside out of the store and tell me to sit there and they go talk to her. And they're like, well, she said that you were being belligerent and da 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 da, and we're going to have to ask you to leave. I said, what in the world? I just left. I was just there was no way of me winning in this situation. And that's a lot of the times when you're a black person, that's what you have to deal with. Like, you know, ain't nobody gonna help you. Nobody's gonna save you out of the situation. So you pretty much have to suck it up and take it on the chin. And that's what I did. I stepped out into the parking lot. But as I'm standing there waiting for my Uber, I can see mall security circling me. I am experiencing the liberal racism. Like, it's not right in your face, like Confederate flag racism, but it's more so like, we're gonna pass you over for things that you are very obviously qualified for. We are going to patronize you when we speak to you. It's very hard to verbalize. It's very hard to put it into words, but there are so many microaggressions that I experience just working in like nonprofit world, especially because a lot of the times it's like, okay, we're gonna come save the black people. And it's like, I can't really get behind that.
Now we'll hear spoken word from Jeremiah about life on a Pittsburgh urban street that has seen its share of violence.
All right, I wrote this like couple days ago. I just finished it today, actually. It's called Blunted on Charles. Eyes open, faces passing, they temporary. They ask me questions about my future. It's very scary. Worst example was the best for me, I guess. I'm thankful ankles broke when Achilles' heel was tended to less. That being said, nicotine will tend to the stress. Best believe the best in me is breathing, dog. Feeding off the talent, but I split it even, dog. Committed treason, you been a dick for the Benjamins. It's all cool, we make it back, then spend again. Purchase the trends in them. Boot on the price tag, but no clue what our religion is. AR's tucked in them, running loose like his missus is. Cause she don't get no love and don't search for it where the preacher live. Sneakers is knocking, but the handcuffs still locking. Sent Brody up the way, caught a case you well wishing. Still pushing the weight though, you moving so fast and yet progression's a no-no. Still living at home's mom's hoping that you don't overdose on the street life, so she hold tight. But all you wanted to do is let go and lay low and pray for you. Not understanding, not understanding is like a maze for you. Especially when your homie say he got fronts for you. Expecting it to be like a bump or two, not a roadblock. Trying to steer clear, blindsided by the whole block. He just curb swerving, late night fiend serving. Can't slip up, team need him like 81 Irving. That's just the cycle though, they ride by us slow. Tough shots from tough guys, so I got the right to blow. Pause. That's dramatic effect. Seems like they looking at me sideways when I ask for respect. So we look up to the lit skies for ambience when we light up the spliff and contemplate. My family struggle daily. This must be reparation. Repeating chants for peace, but they don't ever listen. So when I make commission, I'ma purchase speakers, put them in SWAT trucks, and force armed forces to praise these holy scriptures. Till then, the sweetest swishes, backwards or a raw comb. Gotta stay blunted on Charles to stand and walk home.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.